Praise his name. Let's stand together, if you will. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads. We open the service. Lord Jesus, you're so wonderful to us. Lord, Father, to fathom walking through this life, and the very God of heaven walks with us, even in us, promising that he'll never leave us or forsake us. Lord, how could we go through this life despondent? Lord, if we really believe you, take you at your word, oh God, how could a frown ever cross our face? But Lord, your grace and your mercy, Lord, the great plan of salvation, what you've done for us, Lord, we thank you so much. Bless everyone that's gathered tonight, Lord. Lord, may that rejoicing be in our hearts, Lord. Lord, what you've done for us. Lord, may the devil never take our joy away, Lord, but may we shine with the glory of God. We ask, Father, all these things in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his holy name. Are you happy to be out tonight?
Amen.
Praise his name. You may be seated if you'd like. Hallelujah. I'd like to try to sing our new little song, if you want to, Amy. I just put out those single papers there. What did they do at Pentecost? Amen. What did they do at Pentecost when the new birth was given? When fell the blessed Holy Ghost like a rushing wind from heaven? Oh, their life was changed, and so will yours when he sends the Holy Ghost. He'll fall upon you too, as he fell at Pentecost. What did they do at Pentecost? Who was it fell upon? God gave a sign, and that's the first, and he gave that sign to all. Oh, their life was changed, and so will yours when he sends the Holy Ghost. He'll fall upon you too, as he fell at Pentecost. Amen. Oh, what did they do that was a core when the Holy Ghost was given? When they received the promised call of the Spirit sent from heaven? Oh, their life was changed, and so will yours when he sends the Holy Ghost. He'll fall upon you too, as he fell at Pentecost. Sing that first one again. Oh, what did they do at Pentecost when the first new birth was given? Oh, when fell the blessed Holy Ghost like a rushing wind from heaven? Oh, their life was changed, and so will yours when he sends the Holy Ghost. He'll fall upon you too, as he fell at Pentecost. Amen. What did they do? Their life was changed. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Praise his name. Turn with me in your books, if you would, to 289. Amen. I like to sing out Springs of Living Water. I love this little song. Hallelujah. Thirsted in the barren land.
I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame.
and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Amen. Oh, springing of the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. How sweet the living water from the hills of God. It makes me glad and happy all the way. Now glory, grace, and blessing mark the path I've trod. I'm shouting hallelujah every day, amen. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water. Oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh, sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water free, where thirsting spirits can be satisfied. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, oh, my soul they satisfy. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply, amen. Oh, springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Oh, drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Amen. Have you been drinking? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Page 244. Amen. Let's sing that one. Heaven's Jubilee. Heading home, saints. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise. Headed for that Jubilee yonder in the sky. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning which we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Seems that now I almost see all the sainted dead rising for that Jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, I'm changed with them to be. All the living saints who fly.
Hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior.
that day, saints. Amen. It's coming so close. Amen. Hallelujah. Page 98. Let's sing a little bit of this one. Amen. Our Lord's return. Oh, I don't want to put a song in your heart and a smile on your face. Think about it. Praise His name. I'm watching for the coming of the glad millennial day, when our blessed Lord shall come and catch waiting right away. Oh, my heart is singing, amen. Labor, watch, and pray, for our Lord is coming back. Sky. God shall take away all sickness and the sufferer's tears will dry when our Savior shall come back. The ransom of the Lord shall come to Zion, then with joy, and in all His holy mountain, nothing hurts or shall destroy. Lift and peace shall reign in every heart, love without a Lord. After Jesus shall come back. Sin and sorrow, pain and death of this dark world shall cease in our glorious reign with Jesus of a thousand years of peace. All the earth is groaning, crying for that day of sweet release, for our Jesus to come back earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord. Saints, oh, you ought to rejoice. Amen. Looking forward to it, because that's the ones He'll come after, those that are loving and longing for His appearing. Amen. Praise His name. Brother Kevin, would you like to come up for the offering? Praise His name. Oh, He's so good to us. That's the blessing, if you will.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity that You've given to us tonight to be able to come in and worship You, and Lord, fill Your Spirit here. I can't think of anywhere else to be, Lord, than here tonight, Lord, to be able to worship You. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that that joy is burning in each and every one of our hearts, Lord, that we think throughout the day of that glorious day. It's just about to happen, Lord. It's right around the corner, Father. We can feel it. And, Lord, we just pray that You just bless this offering, Father. Bless those that can give and those that can't. And, Lord, just use it for that building of Thy kingdom, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Praise His name. What song come to my heart? I was going to try to sing it. I've got a river of life flowing out through me. If I can find it on the page. Amen. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Helping prison doors. Passerbys can drink. Amen. Oh, let your little light shine for all people, saints. Praise his name. How many have requests for him tonight? Amen. Hold it on your heart. Brother Steve DeLong, would you like to come up and take a request?
Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, it is such a privilege to be able to talk to you and to know that you hear us when we speak. And Lord, known by the grace of God and through the great price that you paid for us on Calvary, that as our voice goes out to you, Lord, it goes through that great bumper of blood. And Lord Jesus, what a blessing it is. Oh God, to know we're standing this hour and know that we can stand there pure and holy and righteous before you. Lord, we're so thankful for that, for we are such a people that has failed so many times and we've made so many mistakes and done so many things in life that's contrary to your word. But yet, Lord, your mercy and grace has reached down and brought us through. And now, Father, we stand here by the grace of God with a true desire burning, a hunger pulling in our hearts to be just like you. And that's what we ask tonight, Lord, that you continually increase it greater. Yes. Lord, give us a greater revelation of the word of God. Above everything, Lord, may that revelation strike our hearts. Amen. Of every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would touch the sick and afflicted. Lord, any other problem or need that may have arose from this time, Lord, from the last time we was here, we ask that you would meet that also and bless each one, Lord. And may we be encouraged to know that you are the great provider. You're the great physician, Lord, that can answer all needs and take care of all problems. We appreciate it with all our hearts now. And may you just bless the remainder of the service, Lord. Bless our brother as he brings the word. And may our hearts be a hunger and pulling on the word of God. That, Lord, our brother will even feel it on the inside. Amen. That we're pulling and drawing on him. For, Lord, every word is important. There's nothing that's not important. Every word is great and important to us. So we want to take the advantage even tonight now that you've given us the opportunity to listen and to hear. Give us, oh God, the revelation of it. And we'll give you again the glory and the honor for everything this night. And may we forever praise you and give thanksgiving from our hearts for everything now. In your precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Praise his name. You know, I'd like to share a little thought with you that come to me today. You know, as I take the request, and you know, I believe you got your request.
Amen.
You know, I heard a song today. Hallelujah. And it just struck my heart. It went somehow like the God made everyone of us.
Amen.
The sinner, the saint,
yes.
the the good, the bad, the ugly. He made them all. You know, and it's because in the beginning, in his word, he set that up. You know, Eve said, I got a man from the Lord, Cain and Abel, because it was God's word. And he only said it once, and it carried on. You know, and he paid the price on Calvary for our sins, our sicknesses, everything about it, and it's done. And if it ain't happening in our life, it's us, it's not him. You know, his word, like I said, he made every one of us, because in the beginning, all the way back, he said, let it be. He made him, and it carried on forever. Never quit. You know? And it's just, and he paid for our sins, our sicknesses. And it's done. As far as he's concerned, it is finished. Our sicknesses are gone. They're healed.
Hallelujah.
It's just, it's there. And if we're not getting healed and we're not getting this or that, it's us.
Amen.
All saints. It was just a thought that struck me today. And I was just like, dear Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Praise his name. Has anyone got a special little song tonight? Amen. You know something, Karen? Praise his name. Amen. All right. Well.
Amen.
Take it.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Let us all stand. Amen. Let's sing Only Believe. Can you believe him?
Amen.
You believe him with all your heart. Everything he speaks to you in that word. Can you believe it? Amen. Let us sing our little chorus. Only Believe. Only Believe.
Precious Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful to be here. And Lord, most of all, we're so appreciative for the desire that we feel burning within our hearts. Lord, to press on, to climb higher, and to be what you would have us be. And Lord, as we've gathered tonight, each one of us has come, Lord, asking you for our portion. And Lord, may somehow some word that spoke mean something a little extra special to someone. And help each one of us, Lord, along our way. You know each heart, Lord, you know what we have need of. But Lord, we've just come to let you have your way, and through it all, Lord, we'll give you the glory and the honor just due you. And we just want to say once more that we love you and appreciate you. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Lord, we love you. In the name of the precious Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. My, don't you love him?
Amen.
He's so precious. My, while you're still standing, I'm going to turn to the book of John. Amen. Just got a little simple thought on my heart tonight. And, you know, it may seem simple. We've heard all these things many times. And it might seem like a little bit of a chopped up way that I may present it. But I just pray that some way it'll help someone.
Amen.
Be of an encouragement, maybe.
Amen.
Or maybe cause someone to
have a little more desire to press on a little higher. But in the book of John in the 15th chapter, and then we'll read this and you can be seated. Amen. John 15 and 16th verse. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. May the Lord add the blessing of his word, and you may be seated. Little scripture's been read many times, but I just, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And if you'll just stop and meditate for a while and think about just that portion. And it's just amazing, the word of God. But I'd like to turn to the book of Judges, if you would. And we're going to read a little bit about Samson here. I'm just going to use him as a small type. And just to show a portion here. But I'd like to go to the 13th chapter of the book of Judges and begin here. And we'll just going to do some reading here and quite a few scriptures and a couple quotes. But, you know, we're each one coming. And as our brother mentioned Sunday, and we can see the maturity. And each one of us long to see that in our lives, a higher height, to be more like Christ.
Amen.
And, you know, I was just thinking of things, you know, he chose us.
Yeah.
We didn't have no choosing of our own in it. But, you know, there's many references back in the Old Testament to show this. And even Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you.
Amen.
But I was just thinking of Samson and the situation that he was placed in. And I want to read this. We're going to start here at the 13th chapter at the first verse. And we'll read down to about the 5th. And it says, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And then over to 24th verse. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Estel. But God give his word to this woman. And I want you to look, before Samson ever hit the earth, God told what he was going to do.
Amen.
And he proclaimed his word. And here this child came. And as we could go on and read all of this, how he began to grow up. And all the mighty things that he done. And all the Philistines that he slew. And how he wound up down in the land of the Philistines, and we see all that took place in his life. And if you was an Israelite at that time, it's kind of, you know, as they stood around, and I'm sure this lady had told others, God told me I was going to have this son that was going to set us free. He was going to use him. He's going to be a Nazarite. And then to turn and see this young man down there in the camp of the Philistines and doing things that they didn't approve of. And things was totally out of cater, they thought. But God had a purpose in the way he sent him down in there. And God is sovereign, and God does things in ways that the human mind will never understand. But God sent Samson. All of this began to take place. And Satan at the time, he thought he was winning the battle because he's down there deceiving and using this woman, you know, and getting Samson just all wrapped up. And you know, he had Samson all bound up. Kind of as a type of the world. Can bind up a Christian. Can bind us up. Get us all bound down to where God can't use us for what he called us for. And you know, Samson went and told her that if she cut his hair, we realize the story is there that they come and they cut his hair and he lost his strength and they put his eyes out. And took him and made him work this mill and all the things they did to make fun of him. But then I want to start here in about the 16th chapter, and we're going to read from the 23rd verse down. But I want you to notice how God assembled the way this worked. And it says, "And then the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their God to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry, they said, call for Samson that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house. And he had made him, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars." And Brother Branham said that, you know, the whole time he was sitting in that prison house, he knew what he had done, and he had realized. But you know, as he was working and in there, God, Brother Branham said, when he began to feel them curls come back on the back of his neck, he began to know. And Brother Branham said he prayed, "Let you know, Lord, avenge my eyes." But you know, just think of this man as he's realizing now that he's been bound up. He realized maybe he got off track. And now he sees his spot that he's in. But look where God placed him. All before the Philistines ran from him. I want you to remember that. He picked up a jawbone of a mule and took off after him, and they ran. And he still killed thousands. But look how God assembled all of these together and then put him right in their midst. And they was making fun of him. And Brother Branham said he wasn't a great big strong man. He said he was just a little bitty man. About 125 pounds, he called him a little mama's boy. But now look here, God, after all of this, God said he had predestinated him to be a Nazarite. And he was going to use him. And it said, "And Samson said unto the lad that held him by his hands, suffer me that I may fill the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. And the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistine were there. And there were 1,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines from my two eyes. And Samson took a hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and upon which it was borne up, and the one of his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all of his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein, so that the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And God set the children of Israel free. But I want you to look at how God works. You know, we oftentimes we take the human thought and we look and we judge so frequently with our eye of what we see, and maybe we don't weigh it through the word like we should. But oh my, I want you to just, God predestinated Samson for a purpose, and it didn't matter what anybody else thought at that time. God had a work for him, and God knew exactly how it was going to be, and it came out precisely to the way God wanted it to be. And I'd like to turn here to Romans, the 8th chapter, and read a very familiar scripture. Kind of leave off Samson there for a minute, but I just wanted to use him as an example. Before he was ever born, God called him to be what he was. Amen. God knew in his mind, before the world was formed, what Samson was going to do. Amen. He knew what was going to take place, and he knew that man would be there at that specific time to fill that spot. Amen. He knew he would. Amen. In Romans, the 8th chapter, and start there about the 26th verse, I believe it I wrote down there. Amen. Romans 8, and we'll start at the 26th. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he searcheth the hearts and knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose," not our purpose, but his purpose. "And we know that according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Amen. And saints, I was just dwelling upon this, as each one of us come and each one of us, we have the opportunity to hear the precious word. And we realize the scripture said that through the foolishness of preaching, the souls of men would be saved. And we realize we've moved from a different age from what Samson was. We've came up through to a different time. He had a work for his day. And you can look at all the men and women that God used up through the Bible. They had a purpose and a place and a time for what God used them for. And they completed what they were sent here to do. Amen. Each one of them. Amen. They made sure. Whatever God said they would do, they done. He predestinated them to it and it took place. Yes. And you know, I'd like to just think. I was thinking the other night, this little cross we have sitting here. And it, you know, I was thinking it, using it as a type. As the young, when the man came and he was going to make that, and he laid it out up there. And when we looked at it, all we saw was four pieces of steel bar. Just four pieces of steel bar. They just laid there. And they just looked almost useless, you might say. But he picked them up and he took a hammer and he began to beat on them. And he began to put them in the fire. And they'd glow red hot. He'd come out and he'd beat it with that hammer. And slowly, little by little, it began to take shape. And I think it was about halfway through, he held it up and he goes, "What do you think this is going to be?" And you still didn't know, but it was beginning to, "Oh, I think maybe it could be, I think." But nevertheless, it was taking shape. Little by little, with every blow of that hammer, it was taking shape into what that master craftsman was making. And he was working towards. And he beat it and he beat it. And it came out to make that little cross and that little platform right there. But all through that, now he could have handed that to me and given me the hammer and said, "Now I want it to be a cross and you finish it." And I couldn't have finished it because I had no purpose. I had no design in it. But Jesus Christ, he foreknew each one that was going to sit here in this day. Amen. He knew each one. And when he, before you was ever born, he knew the molecules and the lumps of sand, the dirt, the dust, the air that was going to be breathed by mom and dad that would make up your body, that would take the nutrients, the ingredients, whatever it took to make you up to be here. Amen. And he also knew that once you was born and placed on this earth, he knew every step you was going to take. He knew what you would be mixed up in. He knew what you would be tied up in. He knew all of that. He was God and he could see it. Amen. You know, and we come here, and each one of us, we often wonder, you know, maybe we seem like we staggered here and we staggered there. And maybe I met so-and-so and so-and-so told me to come to church. And maybe I started going to church. Or maybe I heard someone preach and it twerked my ear a little bit. Or maybe someone said you should be baptized and I went and got baptized. But all along the way, there was a moving. God knew the steps of the righteous ordained of God. Amen. And you got to remember, as Brother Branham drew that circle and he put those little dots in there, he said the thoughts of God were eternal. And before there was ever a moon or a star, you was in his mind. Yeah. And he knew you was going to be here. But the work that was left for this end time age, he sent a prophet to bring and break that down, that we were to be conformed to his image, that he would have a bride that would be in his exact image and it would not fail. Amen. But it would be just precisely what he said it would be. Yes. Oh my saints, hallelujah. You know, just stop and think about it. What you've been predestinated for. You know, God told Moses to go down and set the children of Israel free, and he handed him a staff. And he said, "And I'll go with you." God gave us his word, and he said, "I'll be in you till the end of the world." Amen. He didn't just leave us without a hope. He just didn't tell us that we don't just blunder through life. But God has directed our path. Maybe I didn't always sit under the word. Maybe I didn't always hear the preaching and didn't know what the Holy Ghost even was. Didn't know what it meant to feel the moving of the Spirit, but God knew the steps it would take to bring me into that presence. And I might be the only one out of my family. Maybe my mom and dad was never Christians. They didn't care about church. They didn't care about God. And it was never mentioned in maybe my home growing up. But God has a way of knowing. Or maybe I was raised in church and always went to church and all knew what was right, but I didn't have the desire down on the inside. But God knows every step that it takes. Maybe we left church. Maybe we got away from the scriptures and got away from the word and just, "Oh, I don't want nothing to do with it." Amen. Or maybe I still sat in church and thought I was all so mighty and high and I've got all I need. And maybe we went along that way. But God had a purpose for each phase that each one of us walked our lives through. Amen. But God knew when and where he was going to turn. It was all in his plan. It was all in the molding of the clay to make it come out to his glory and his honor. You know, each step we take, some of us would never truly understand grace if it wasn't for the path we've had to trod. Some of us wouldn't know what it means to really have a desire to really want to serve God if we hadn't been seeing a time where people went to church not really wanting to serve God, but thought that they were all sufficient, thought they had all they needed, and they was just waiting on a rapture. Maybe we'd be in that boat, but God showed us by His mercy and grace it was all a portion of molding that clay for that end time when He would have a bride that would be without spot or wrinkle. He knew what it would take to get someone to stand up fully upon His word and take Him at His word and not care what anyone says, what anyone wants to add to, but it was just take exactly what God give us in this day and walk with it. But God knew it and it was all in His mind. But I want to read here in this message, the identified masterpiece of God, paragraph, page 14, paragraph 86. Brother Branham speaking here, he said, "It's told one time, the old gold, before they had a smelter, they used to take the gold and beat it. And the beater would take the Indians in the early days when Arizona was in its youth. They beat the gold until the beater seen his own reflection in the gold. And they beat all the iron pyrite and the dross and the dirt out of it until the beater could see his own reflection like a mirror beating out. And that's what the gospel does. And so many people don't like to be turned over and beat out. Well, what the church needs tonight is a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost beating out of the world and the things of the world. And that's what Pentecost needs tonight. That's what our movements need tonight is the good old-fashioned gold-turning beating until all the world is beat out of us and Jesus Christ is reflected. Let me have this handful of people in here tonight fully considered to Christ and their life dedicated to Christ. And I can do more with this handful, or God can do more, rather, with this handful of people here than you could do with the whole world council of churches towards the kingdom of God. One man surrendered into His hands fully. That's all God needs." Amen. And saints, if you in your life can see that what He's saying there, the church needs the Holy Ghost beating out. This is what we need. And if you can see that through the moving of the Holy Spirit, you can see that beating taking place in your life. You can see the Holy Spirit and the Word coming, and it's chipping, and it's hammering, and it's removing anything that's not Christ-like. You can see it flying off. You see it removed. It's not just happening by chance. We don't gather in this building by chance. We gather here, and there's many of us gathered here. But it could be for one person that all of this goes on in this building. One person in here could be the one God called to be that little bride. Just one. There might only be one. And for that purpose, He would make these lights stay on and have an assembly here and have a pastor and have a church for one of His little elected. That's how much He cares for one. Amen. One alone, that's all that matters. Amen. But oh my, and you may sit there and feel the Holy Spirit just beating away at you. And it may feel like every service is just shaving and stepping on your toes. And you may look around and someone else may say, "I don't know why he's even preaching on those things. I don't even know why that's said. I don't understand what he was even talking about." You might hear those kind of things. We've heard it in the past. But there was someone that was sitting there gaining grace. And it was by revelation. It was being dipped into their heart. Oh, there they went that. And there went that. Now I can't go here and I can't go there. And now I can't do this and now I can't have that. That's how some people seen it. But God predestinated someone to see it as, "Thank you, Lord, for opening my eyes to see that. Thank you, Lord, that you revealed that to me." But oh my, you know, we're here as individuals. But God's called. And if you can see that you, before this world was ever formed, He called you. That's what it's about, is realizing that it's not just a hope that I'm one of them. It's not, "Oh, I just want to be a Christian. I just want..." But it's knowing with an assurance that you was in the thoughts of God and that you see what He said would take place in that people is taking place in your life. It's not a hope of, "Well, praise God, the prophet came and he told me I was eternal and I never could be lost and I can never fall and I can never this and I can never that," and then people's lives are totally so far away from that perfection that should be coming. That reflection of that image that was should have, when you look into a mirror and you see your own reflection, that's the way God is expecting to look at His bride. When He looks, it'll be a reflection of Himself, and a reflection of His character, a reflection of everything that He is. It'll just be a reflection, a perfect reflection. But oh my, how sincere are we? How much do we want that reflection in our life? And how much willing are we to really let God just beat the gold, beat whatever it takes. Take us in our hands. You know, it took a lot of hammering to make that little cross. A lot of strong, stiff hits. But oh my, now it sits there and it's a, you know, you just look at it and you can see, you can just see the character of the person that built it, actually. It come out in his work. But oh my, how much more as God is working on us, we ought to be reflecting his life and we ought to see it. And it should be a daily climb. And that's why maybe we started out going back to church. Maybe we started out coming to church. Maybe we started out left a church and got in a church. Whatever is the situation we might have come from. Each day we can see, each time God gives us an opportunity to come and hear his precious word, there should be a change. And there's never a place, as long as we're in this life, that we should stop seeing change in our life. Every day there should be something. We are not all sufficient. As long as we're here, we need God daily. And every day that we're in this flesh will be tried. And Satan will be there. But we must stay prayed up and in the spirit with God and give God an opportunity to show forth. It don't matter if I'm raising kids, whether I'm just getting married and got a wife. Every aspect of my life should be a reflection of what Jesus Christ would be in that situation. Identical. Not my attitude, not my personal thought on how my wife ought to treat me or how I ought to treat her, but a reflection of what this precious word said it would be. Each one of us. You know, so many people want to run and grab some kind of literature that's put out today by man to help them with their relationship, help them raise their kids, help them this, help them that, when God give us all the instructions you could ever need if you'll sit down and read it in the Spirit and pray and ask God for a revelation. But God predestinated the people and he give them everything they would need to fulfill that. Oh my, to make it come out just precisely the way he wanted it. But you know, this is in the Message Shalom, and this was preached January 1964, page 25, paragraph 179. You know how a little kid, 10, 12 years old, gets pains and come in and say, "Mama, my arm hurts and my legs are hurting," and so forth? It's growing pains. It shows he has got some good vitamins and he is growing up. And when somebody begins to make fun of you and say she is old-fashioned, look at him. Oh, I tell you, he used to be. Oh, just remember, it's growing pains. That's the persecution is good for you. It's growing pains. Oh, yes, he permits crosses and crossroads and junctions. He always does that in order to perfect us for his service. He permits those things to happen. Can you understand that? He does that so he can perfect you for the calling he has called you for. And that's your growing pains. He did Daniel the same way, you know. He did the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. What did the fiery furnace do? The fiery furnace only broke the bands that had them bound. And that's all the furnace did, just burnt loose the bands. And sometimes it takes trials to break the bands of the world off of us. And you take you out of the world. Might be have to take you out of your creed first, like the man drowning in the river. You have to take him out of the river before you get the river out of the man. And that's about the way God has to do something. Let them throw you out one time and then get the world out of you and get you out of the world first. And sometimes the growing pains is what does it. Oh, yes. Amen. And each one of us, we ought to be able to look at our lives and see that. Yes. And see where God is through our life, throwed us from one thing to another. And at the time that it's happening, you may not realize it. And you might be saying, "Why me? Why has it got to happen to me? Why does it have to be this way?" But the whole time, when you get down the road a few days, a few years, you can look back and you can say, "Oh my, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. What if it hadn't have been for that situation? Where would I be today?" And you know, that's if you look at Samson's situation, oh, they put out his eyes. Oh my, now how's he... And all the people that probably knew as it probably went through the land of Israel, they've put out his eyes. How's he ever going to serve God's purpose? How's it ever going to be? But God knew exactly how it was going to be, and he used that for his glory and honor. That when it did happen, it wasn't Samson's name that was remembered and feared, but it was the God. Because why? They said, "Our God has delivered Samson into our hands." Their God had nothing to do with it. But the Almighty Creator placed him there for a purpose at that time. Amen. And it worked to God's glory. And that's the way it is today, saints. If you get an opportunity to help one soul into the kingdom of God. One time to be able to say a kind word, whatever it takes to help someone along their way. Don't never stand in the way and take glory for it. Don't ever stand there and say, well, if I had done this and I had done that, it wouldn't have happened, for God's glory. God uses each one of us where his hands, where his eyes. But be certain the glory goes to Jesus Christ and not man. Make sure he gets the glory, because it's him. Because he added to the church daily such as should be saved in the book of Acts. And oh my, saints, if you just stop and think about it. Oh my, you know, I wrote a little note there. I was just thinking, our brother was talking about it, the rapid growth of, I wrote it down there. As he was talking about the false doctrines and the false creed and the Sunday, as he said, it was growing rapidly, and it is, and you see it, and now it's so broad. But then I'm reminded of the scripture that Jesus said, if it wasn't for the elect, if he didn't shorten the days, scarcely the elect would be saved. And now we can see how rapidly that's growing. And we can look on the other hand and see how rapidly time is moving. It seems like it's no time from Sunday to Sunday. We see it just like the year's gone and people's already talking about Christmas again, and it seems like it was just here. And we see this whole thing shifting. But then come over on the spiritual side and look at what God's doing for you. Where was you last week and where are you this week? What's God done for you in a span of time? Because as that's growing, that bride's growing just as rapidly, becoming more like Christ, getting ready for that final body change to leave this old world. And saints, how we ought to be watching. It's getting close. Amen. I'd like to go here to Ephesians, the second chapter, real quick. Amen. I got too many notes. Amen. Ephesians, the second chapter. And saints, we've heard these verses many, many times, but you know, just listen to them and apply it. Look for yourself in the scriptures. Every time the word comes forth, we're here looking for ourselves. I'm looking for the reflection of this in my life. Can I see that this has even happened? Can I see this has happened? Can I see when I hear this word, Lord, is that taking place in my life? Am I being conformed to your image, which is this? Am I seeing it take place? In the Ephesians, the second chapter, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And we should be able to look and see, I was there. That scripture was me at one point. I was there. I did those things. This flesh body was doing all of those things. And among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And we can see that portion of the scripture. And oh my, but when we read this next portion, if I can find myself in there, what a joy I should have in my heart. And that's why there's a greater desire to walk through those doors every time and to see what God has for me. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, even when we were out in the world, even when we were stumbling around and didn't really know what we were doing, but all the time God loved us. He knew before we ever got here, he knew, I'm going to see, this is going to happen. But oh my, I'm going to get my glory. Oh my. And he says, even as we were dead in sins, had he quickened together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. For we are his workmanship. Amen. Everything that's happened down through my life, I see that hammer smacking. I see something fly off. It's not me. It wasn't me that decided I wanted to come sit in this little building and listen to the word. Maybe it looked like I was the person that made that decision. But all the time, there was something down on the inside that was working to make this body follow suit. God placed that precious holy desire down on the inside. And he made it that that would be the drive. Oh my. And he knew just how to work it, that it would hit the right channel at the right time. And give him the opportunity to burn that old soul out and make that new one come alive. He knew exactly how he was going to do it. But it's by grace that it's happened. But by mercy and grace, I can look down through that and I can see my life. I can see myself reflected in those scriptures. Even the precious word that comes Sunday and the Thursday. And you say, oh, you see yourself reflect? Absolutely. Because as that word came, I found growing ground. As that word came, it was striking something in my heart. There's another step. There's something there. It wasn't, oh, I just wished he'd get off that platform and go say something else. No, there's a desire in there. Lord, whatever your will is for me. Jesus, when he knelt down and he knew he was going to that cross, he wasn't, the agony that he was in, it was painful. He knew what was coming. He knew all he was going to suffer. But did he could have, no, he just humbly said, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And he laid there like a sheep led to slaughter. And that's what we are. That's what we should be. The wool's just sheared right off. We don't have any say in it. And God just takes it and keeps it just moving right to his glory. Amen. But oh my, you know, oftentimes we get stiff and we get starchy and we don't want to bend our way. We got a right to my attitude. I got the right to feel the way I feel. I do this because of that, and I do this, that, and the other. But what about giving God an opportunity to totally just melt us in his presence? Get us down and really work us over and say, son, this is what you need, not what you think you need, but this is what you need. But oh my, how we ought to pray more often for that. Lord, humble me. Don't let me get crusty, Lord, but keep me soft and moldable. Keep me yielded to you in your spirit. Don't let me reach a spot where when I come to service, I can't feel the presence of the Lord. I can't feel the moving of the Holy Spirit. And it shows because my face is dry, my expressions are dry, I'm drab, I'm not in the spirit, I'm not in the song service, we're singing another song. And where's it at? Where's your burning desire of your heart? The melody comes from inside. It's not coming because there's a piano that's playing perfectly in tune and the song leader singing so precisely. That's what they've took it to, but that's not worship. Worship comes from the inside out, and it's a love back to him for what he's done for you. Amen. This is in the Church Age book, something very familiar. We've all heard it, but I just wanted to read it with that Ephesians. He says, now we're coming to a conclusion. This is page 152, down about middle of the page. As the eternal Logos God was manifest in the Son, and in Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that eternal one was the Father manifest in flesh, and thereby gained the title of Son. Even so we, eternal in his thoughts, in our turn became many-membered, spoken word seed, manifest in flesh. Those eternal thoughts, now manifest in flesh, are the sons of God, even as we are so called. We did not become seed by rebirth. We were seed, and therefore were reborn. For only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed is the reason we could be quickened. In none seed, there is nothing to quicken. And oh my, if you can see the quickening of the Holy Spirit, if you can see the conviction of the Holy Spirit getting on you, and maybe make you go to the water and be baptized, maybe you see the Holy, you hear the word and you can see it trim off whatever it is. Maybe you're a woman wearing pants and you see it shaved off and now there's a dress in its place. Maybe you used to trim your hair, but now it's growed long. Maybe you're a man used to do all kinds of manner of things, but now you can see that all shaved off because you heard the word and it quickened something on the inside, and we see it taking place. How thankful you should be. What a joy that ought to place in your heart to know that I couldn't do this on my own. He said it's a life you can't live yourself. I can't make this body quit anything. I can't make it start doing something just because I want it to. But through the mercy and grace of God and the desire that he placed on the inside, it's working to his glory that I would be one that would be conformed to that image. And he's placed me in this place where I need to be to receive that, the precious word that is doing the molding. And that's why it's so important to make sure that you're getting the food that you need to grow. Because if you're not getting the food, you won't grow. But oh my, when God is feeding you and you know he is, cry out for more. And just stay humble and say, Lord, here am I. Feed me. We're no big eyes, little used. We're all saved by the grace of God, and each one of us, it don't matter. You know, I think oftentimes of the scripture in Matthew. Some came in the first hour, some came in the middle hour, and some came at the 12th hour, but they every one received the same reward. They all agreed to work for the same pay, and they got paid. And oh my, it don't matter. God knows when he calls. Some may have to serve him 40 or 50 years. But you know, Brother Branham said when that last one come in, that rapture would take place. And that one may not work very long. But oh, thanks be to God that when it's all over, we're going to share in that same reward. Amen. We're going to feast on a milk and a honey. Amen. We're going to shout and have a good time. Amen. Oh, glory. But saints, it's God's purpose for our lives. God's placed us here. He placed you here. And if you're only here because somebody else is here, then you're here for the wrong reason. But if you can see God's led you through mercy and grace to sit here, and he's given you the word, it's not that you're following. You know, so many times in this message we hear, I'm following Brother So-and-so. And I go to Brother So-and-so's church. And I'm, that's not it. I'm following Jesus Christ. It don't matter where I sit as long as I'm getting the word that's making me more like Jesus Christ. But I must make sure that it's food, spiritual food in due season. Oh my, and it'll produce the work that's needed in our lives. Amen. You sisters may come to the instruments. I just pray that somehow it'll be a help to someone. You know, God has ways of doing things. And it's just amazing when you step back and you watch all that has taken place. And hard to believe, but I think it's almost going on 9 years now that we've been here. And, you know, I can look at my life and see what 9 years ago was for me. And I can see by God's grace where I am today. And by God's grace, if he should tarry another 9, I want to look back and say, Lord, I see how much farther I've come. Amen. No standing still, no being satisfied that I've got all I need. I'm going to church, I'm spiritual, God deals with me. I don't care, I'm just doing, I've got it. And Brother so-and-so needs it, and Sister so-and-so needs it. But I've got it. No, Lord, don't ever let me take that attitude. But Lord, keep us humble and keep us there. And Lord, keep us where you can yield us and use us, that if he can get us in his hands so precise that it'll be every word just 100%, where there is no room for condemnation. There is no room for Satan to hit. When he gets to a point where he can't even do nothing, he can't penetrate through that precious protection that God set up and give us. My, what a day it's going to be. Amen. Let you all may stand in our precious brother. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the word. Amen. Amen. You ought to be able to see yourself identified in many places. Amen. In the word of God. And that's what stirs you on the inside, because we have to be identified with his characteristics. Those characteristics have to be in you. Christ, who is the Word. So when you read the Word, you hear the Word, that's me, Lord, that's me. You know, it's like the little eagle, the baby one, you know, that looks like me. When Mama Eagle was flying over, you know, the old chicken coop, that's me, that looks like me. I recognize something. There's somebody there that I know it's me. I'm a part of. Oh, how glorious it is. You know, I was thinking about when he was talking about Samson, you know, it took Samson's natural sight to be taken away, that his spiritual sight would come back in view. That's oftentimes it is with us. If we are looking everything in a natural way, we miss out on what God's doing.
Amen.
But if we lay aside all the natural things and look to the spiritual, look how much better off we would be.
Amen.
And following God in his word. Oh, I thank him so much for his mercy and grace. It's just so tremendous to think of all the wonderful, precious things he has done for every one of us. I thank him for every bit of it. His grace and mercy is so rich and so wonderful. You know, and I want to thank him and give him the glory that I can stand here tonight without any pain. I come Monday afternoon, I twisted my back. I wasn't doing anything, just turned and popped my back out. So I went ahead and went to the chiropractor. He said he put it back in, but I could tell it didn't go back in. It was just, if anybody's had back problems at all, it just felt like a knife just kept going repeatedly in my back. And if I'd bend or twist or anything, it was just about go to my knees. And still hurting today. Couldn't hardly get up and down out of my chair and everything. I said, Lord, I really want to go tonight. But I knew what it'd be if I couldn't or wasn't made whole, because I'd be jerking and twisting and everything else, just stand there and go like this. And I said, Lord, I'd appreciate it. That's all I said. I said, Lord, I'd appreciate it if you could take care of this for me so I could go to service tonight. And here I am.
Amen.
Glory. Amen. God is so wonderful.
Amen.
He's so merciful and so great. Ask whatever you desire, and he'll give it to you. Amen. Oh, he's just so precious to me. I love him. He's done so much for me. It would take me a long time to tell you what all he's done for me. And it's just grace and mercy. It really is. I love him with all my heart, and I appreciate him. He's just so glorious. Let us just sing a little chorus. I've got so much to thank him for. I think it's the name of it, isn't it? Amen. Let's sing that little, just a chorus of it. I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for he has been so good to me. Say just one more thing. Don't mean to hold you, but thinking about so much to thank him for and everything, and Brother Timothy mentioned again about how rapidly Satan is deceiving people, and you see so much false doctrine increasing just tremendously. And you all know Paul and Heather, they went to Paul's brother's wedding, Kenny, over the weekend, and they wasn't able to make it here, so on their trip coming back or so forth, I don't know how it worked out, but anyhow, they went to another Methodist church up north that they'd been to several times. I don't think Heather has, but Paul and his family and some other ones has been. And they had this minister that was visiting, and Paul and Heather said that he was doing real good to start with. But just to go show you again how rapidly it's taking place. In a short amount of time, started out good, he immediately went on a hammering about he didn't believe in the changing the soul. Then he went into that to say that's why these ones are believing in polygamy, because their one soul is able to have polygamy, have another wife, and their other soul it has another one. Now can you imagine all this nonsense? And of course they said, and these people were saying amen, amen, amen. Look at the deception. Grace. Mercy. Oh my. And of course they was so thankful to know the truth while that man was at their minister. Now here that man, whoever he was, is going to give an account.
Amen.
And the prophet said he was a false anointed one. Falsely anointed. Preaching the word of God. And those people identified with that and agreeing with that sin, which is unbelief. I'm telling you, if you have the truth in your heart, you ought to be the happiest person there is in this life. When you know what that prophet said and you know the truth of it and you know it's revealed, you ought to be so happy. Oh, my. Grace and mercy.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for He has been so good to me. And when I think of all He's done and where He's brought me from, I've got so much to thank Him for. Let us just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to just thank You and thank You and thank You so very much for what You've done for us. And Lord, it's all good and so wonderful what You've done for us. But Lord, it's so good and wonderful to know what You're still going to do for us. Lord, through predestination and Your grace and mercy, the Father, we know by the grace of God that You're going to take us the rest of the way through. If we'll just do what You say, Lord, follow Your word. And Father, by the grace of God, having that desire to do everything You want us to do, we appreciate it so very much. And thank You for the word tonight, Lord, that we've been able to identify ourselves with it, Lord, and to see all those examples down through the scriptures and see, Father, how it's worked in our lives, even ourselves personally. That, Lord, it's sometimes took the fiery furnaces and, Lord, all the times of my terrible things that we'd have to go through. And as our brother said, why me? Why do I have to go through this? But Lord, You had it all in Your great plan, and You had a purpose for it, Lord, that You would bring us to this point where we're at now. For Lord, if we would have went on our own and went our own ways, we would have definitely been off track. But Lord, You had Your hand on us all the time, and we appreciate it so very much. We owe You so much, Lord. We truly owe You our whole life, and help us to be able to do that, Lord, to give our life back to You. Grant all these things now that You've blessed us with and understanding tonight, and Lord, the revelation You've placed in our hearts, just lead us and guide us and keep us and draw us closer to Thee, O God, is our prayer. And if You should tarry till Sunday, Lord, help us to come in with a burning desire and a hunger to draw closer to You. And Father, may it be Your will in our lives at all time. In Your holy name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Yes, I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for He has been so good to me. And when I think of all brought me from, I've got so much to praise Him for. God bless you. You're dismissed. Amen.